Please stand for the reading of God's holy word. From the book of Nehemiah, the words of Nehemiah and the son of Hachalah. Now it happened in the month of Shavuot in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant here is in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenants and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant. Now that I pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. They are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and to give success to your servant today, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Now I am the cupbearer to the king.
The New Testament lesson comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some of who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending, after the Passover, to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now when Herod was about to bring him out, on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, get up quickly. I lost my place there, sorry. Get up quickly. And he did so, and he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, now, I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked on the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, you are out of your mind. But she kept insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." Then he departed and went to another place. This is the word of God. You may be seated. I want to read a quotation from Mark Twain, and I have to read it because I'll get it messed up otherwise. Mark Twain said, "The secret of humor itself is not joy, but sorrow. There is no humor in heaven." I don't like that at all. What's the sense of going to heaven if there's no humor? I had a man who called himself a pastor many, many years ago told me that Jesus never laughed. I said, "How do you get that?" He said, "Well, the Bible says that Jesus wept. It doesn't say he laughed, so therefore he didn't laugh." I bet the Bible doesn't say that he scratched his ear when it was itchy. I bet the Bible doesn't say that he stubbed his toe when he was walking out along the road. The Bible doesn't list every minute detail that Jesus did, but I've got to believe that he laughed, particularly when the parents were bringing their children to him. What kid wants to come to some somber-faced guy? You know, they want to come to people that are happy, that laugh. And so I believe that there is humor in heaven, and I believe there is humor here, and I believe in today's story there is humor also. Herod Agrippa, if you read scripture, there are a lot of Herods there. Herod the Great was the ruler when Jesus was born. He had several sons. Some of them he killed because he thought they were going to take over the throne. One of the Herods was Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas was the man who had John the Baptist beheaded. The person we're dealing with today is Herod Agrippa. He's the nephew of Herod Antipas, the grandson of Herod the Great. He was married to a Jewish woman, and he tried to curry favor with the Jews so that he could stay in power and maybe even expand the territory that he ruled over. So, in doing that, he goes out and he grabs James, the brother of John, the writer of the Gospel of John and the book of Revelation, and he killed him with a sword, probably cut his head off. Oh, the Jews were very happy because they had lost this guy called Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. They had lost him and his ability to rout the church, and so now they thought, well, Herod's going to do this for us. And Herod liked the whole idea, so he arrests Peter. Peter goes to jail. Herod puts out squads of soldiers to watch him. A squad is four men, and there were several squads here, four to be exact. And each squad served 3 hours. And then they were off for 12 hours and then 3 hours again. So the minimum number of people that were guarding Peter were four, two of whom he was chained to, one on either side, and two guarding the door. Some commentators seem to think that there were 16 every 3 hours. Either way, Peter wasn't going anywhere. I mean, he was in jail. Lock, stock, and barrel, and the people were praying. But I don't believe that they were praying for Peter to escape. And we'll get to that later, but I don't believe they were praying that optimistically. But they were praying for Peter, maybe so that he would stand strong in the midst of persecution and that he would praise the Lord right up to the point where he lost his head. In the middle of the night just before Herod was going to bring him out, an angel appeared to the Lord, or appeared to Peter, sent from the Lord. Peter didn't wake up. The angel had to whack him in the side to get his attention. Maybe God needs to do that to us sometimes, right? Peter still is kind of in a daze. He's not aware of what's going on, and the angel has to tell him everything to do. Stand up. So he stands up, the chains fall off. Put your sandals on. It sounds like a mother to a kid, doesn't it? Put your shoes on before you go outside. Where are your socks? He stands them up. They move right past the guards at the door. The guards are not supposed to be sleeping. The punishment for death on duty guarding a prisoner is death. They'll kill them instantly. And later on, if we read more of the story, you'll find out that's what happened to the guards. The two that he was chained to weren't aware of what was going on. The two at the door were not aware of what was going on. And they walked out of the cell and they walked to the main gate by the street. And the gate just opened up. And the angel led Peter down the road. And then he left him all of a sudden. And Peter thought, oh, it wasn't a dream. It wasn't a vision. It really happened. An angel of the Lord led me out. And where does he go? He goes to the house of John Mark's mother. And most people think that's where the upper room was. But that's where they were gathered praying for Peter. And Peter knocks on the door. I don't know what this poor young servant girl thought when she got her name in Scripture that's lasted for all these years. Poor Rhoda, who goes to the door. She hears Peter's voice, sees who it is, and she's just so overcome, she doesn't open the door. She just runs back to tell everybody. I think that's kind of a funny story myself. She probably wasn't laughing when she saw her name maybe in Scripture. She runs and tells everybody, and they say, you know, you're beside yourself. And really, the Greek there means that she was out of it. You know, she wasn't rational in any way. And they just kept telling her it was Peter's angel, whatever. Peter keeps knocking. He keeps knocking. And I don't think he was knocking this way. I think he was pounding his fist while he's looking both ways. You know, are they out? Are they coming for me yet? And they finally let him in. And this is why I don't think they were praying for Peter's escape, because they were amazed that he was there. It reminds me of the pastor one time in the drought in the Midwest, and they had a church service to pray for rain, and only one person brought his umbrella. If they were really praying for his escape, should they have been surprised that he escaped? And there he was, and he told them, be quiet, go on and tell James, that's the brother of Jesus, and the other brothers that he is free, and then he takes off and hides for his own life. I think it's kind of a funny story, but I think there are some important points there for us. First of all, Peter kept knocking. A lot of times for us, whether we're praying or trying to tell somebody of what God has done in our lives, they don't seem real interested, and so we just give up. Peter kept on knocking. Even when the door wasn't open, he kept on knocking until they finally answered the door and they saw where or who it was. And so we need to continue sharing the gospel that we have and believe with other people. And maybe one time isn't enough. we don't have to hound them to death, but let's just not say, you should see what the Lord did for me and be done with it. We need to keep knocking. But I think more so, there's some things about prayer that we need to look at. First is expectation. I don't think that people were praying with the expectation that Peter was going to escape. I think we need to pray expecting that something is going to happen. Expectation is a blend of confident trust and sanctified imagination. I think we expect too little of God. This is the creator of the earth that we're talking about here. Sometimes I get frustrated with the whole global warming thing. I'm not denying that the earth isn't getting warmer, and it has in the past, and it's gotten colder. Do we really think that we can do something better than the creator of the earth itself? And I'm not saying we shouldn't be careful and we shouldn't recycle and all of that. I think that's our responsibilities to do those things. But I think we should be more expectant on God, not only in global warming, but everything in our lives. Let's not pray half-heartedly, Lord, maybe you want to think about. Let's pray expectantly. We expect something to happen, and let's pray confidently that God wants those good things to happen. Secondly, a reminder, and I'm sure if you've been in church any time in your life, you heard this, God answers all prayers. Sometimes he answers them very quickly and in the positive. He answers them that way. Sometimes he answers them in the negative because he knows what we're praying for is not good for us, or it's not good for the circumstances we're in or the people we're around. And so the answer is no. And sometimes God responds with a delay. We don't get a yes or a no right away because the timing is not right. If I had been a senior in high school and I prayed that God would bring the young woman to me that I would marry, I wouldn't have been very impressed with a sixth grader. The timing wasn't there. 7 years later, the timing was there. And so when we don't hear a yes or no, let's not be disappointed. God's knowledge of what is happening and what's going to happen is so much better than ours. But we're not accustomed to waiting, are we, as Americans? So we need to wait sometimes for his timing. Sometimes the answer to our prayer is right in front of our face. And I made a mistake not including the next couple verses of Nehemiah, because it says here in Nehemiah that he was very troubled, and he prayed and he thought about it, about all that the people were going through. And he was very upset. And after these verses, being the cupbearer for the king, he went to the king. And the king noticed he was kind of downcast. And that was not his normal style. And the king asked him what was wrong. And Nehemiah told him what was wrong. And that was the beginning of the answer for the exiles to go back to Jerusalem. So you see, sometimes the answer is there, but we haven't thought about it, we haven't prayed about it, and we haven't waited to let God open the door for the answer to come through. And that's what King Xerxes came with. And that also leads to the idea, Nehemiah just didn't pray about it. He became very involved with it. He wrestled it with it. He thought about it. How can I do anything about this? And even his being upset and disturbed was part of the answer, because the king saw that, the king responded to it, and many of the exiles went back and began rebuilding Jerusalem again. So just like Peter, we can't knock on God's door just once and expect miracles to happen. Sometimes they do. But we need to be persistent in our prayers. We need to expect that God is going to answer. We need to realize that the answer may not be immediate. It may take a long time for that to happen. And sometimes God's only going to lead us one step at a time. I think this story in Acts is funny. I think Rhoda's reaction to Peter at the gate is funny. But I think God's leading Peter out of the prison is not funny. It's a reality. God can do anything he chooses to do. If we are willing to go to him and lay our burdens on him, you know, we might see miracles too. Maybe not somebody let out of prison, but things happen that the world says it's just impossible. But God can do it. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for this story. I thank you for what I believe, that Jesus laughed, and I thank you that heaven is not going to be a dull, boring place with a lot of sour-faced people. I thank you that our eternal home is going to be joyous, and it should be something that we look forward to and not truly be afraid of. Lord, help us in our prayers. As you sent an angel to guide Peter out of prison, so send your Holy Spirit to us to guide us in our prayers, that not only do we pray expectantly, but that we look for the answers eagerly, and that we wrestle with the problems as well as pray about them, so that we begin to understand your will for us, so that our prayers are not frivolous, so that our prayers are not flippant, but that they were zeroed in on what our needs are and what the needs of our sisters and brothers in Christ are around us, what the needs of the church are. Lord, you know our weaknesses, you know our strengths, and you know that we are not capable of saving ourselves. We're not capable of producing miracles, but we are children, your children, the children of the God who created all things, and the God who performs miracles, not just in the past, but who performs miracles today in our lives. And sometimes we just hesitate to look. Lord, open our eyes. Even as we speak in prayer, open our ears that we can hear also, that we can hear your direction, and that we are made wiser through this blessed communication source that we have. Lord, we prayed the prayer your son taught his disciples. Help us not to take that prayer or any other prayer lightly. It's a one-on-one communication with you. And I thank you that we have that and we are not left in this world unattached from you. That we are never alone and our prayers never just go into outer space and nowhere else. That they go right before your throne. And help us to see the miracles that are going to happen in the future in our lives. Lord, I pray all of this for the glory of your kingdom and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.